America's space agency, NASA, is probably best known for sending astronauts to the moon and exploring the planets of the solar system. It has a reputation for tackling new challenges, for boldly going where no one has gone before, and for being open to new and unconventional ideas. But what happens when someone at a NASA lab is open about his belief in intelligent design? In this ID the Future series, we tell the story of David Coppedge, a team leader at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Southern California. Coppedge had his world upended when his supervisor took issue with him promoting intelligent design in the workplace. Now, Coppedge has gone on record to tell his side of the story. So settle in as we explore NASA on Trial, The Persecution of David Coppedge, Part 1. The Jet Propulsion Laboratory, or JPL for short, is one of NASA's most prestigious scientific facilities. Located in the Pasadena area of Southern California, it's managed for NASA by the California Institute of Technology, Caltech. JPL played a key role in launching America into the space age, and it was responsible for building America's first satellite. David Coppedge was a lifelong fan of space exploration and the Jet Propulsion Lab. He had undergrad degrees in science education and astrophysics, but he never dreamed he'd be able to work at JPL.
I had been a JPL fan since I was a kid. I mean, I actually saw Sputnik as a kid, Sputnik 1, and then Explorer 1, or the American response to Sputnik, and I followed the Mercury, Gemini, Apollo programs with great interest, and especially the planetary missions fascinated me. So I followed Voyager 1 and 2 and was a JPL fan from very early on, but I figured that, you know, they're all PhDs and eggheads there, and there's no chance for somebody without a PhD to get there, and it seemed like there weren't many jobs in engineering or computer science at the time. But at the company I worked at, there was somebody who had worked there, and she said, oh no, they're hiring people like you. And I immediately jumped at the chance. So I was interviewed, got a job, and worked very hard from the start, got very good reviews from my managers, and one day, March of 1997, my office manager said, Dave, can you do Cassini? And I said, yes, I think so.
Cassini is NASA's mission to Saturn. The Cassini spacecraft, equipped with 12 different instruments, has been exploring Saturn and its moons since 2004. When Coppedge came on board with the Cassini mission in 1997, he had the role of team lead, system administrator, working with the operating system, security requirements, and application software. The job is a trusted position that requires a lot of technical know-how. System administrators have to successfully manage their team and are given security clearance to go into server rooms to troubleshoot and solve mission-critical problems.
We were in charge of almost all the computers that receive the data from the spacecraft and send the commands to the spacecraft.
Coppedge filled the position of team lead for Cassini for 9 years. 9 years, that is, until in 2009, when he did something people do all the time. He loaned a coworker a DVD. The move unknowingly jeopardized his entire career with the Cassini mission and JPL, even though he had been lending DVDs to co-workers without pressure or protest for years.
Well, these are the well-known DVDs on intelligent design from Illustra Media, such as Unlocking the Mystery of Life and The Privileged Planet. In fact, The Privileged Planet has four JPL scientists in it, and so I thought this is perfectly appropriate for sharing at JPL. So I actually only shared them with about 36 people over the course of years. So it was very infrequent, and each encounter was just maybe a minute or so, maybe less. This is something interesting. Would you like to borrow it over the weekend and watch it? It has four JPL scientists in it. It talks about the evidence for why Earth is habitable and all the factors that make it possible for life to exist here. And usually the response was interest, and they'd take it, and many of them would come back and say, wow, that was really good. I really enjoyed that.
Coppedge says he did have one person who was anti-religious and reluctant to take the DVD. But later, this coworker told Coppedge that the film actually convinced him intelligent design has merit, and he even ended up defending intelligent design to a friend.
Others might have a more neutral reaction, and very rarely would somebody complain. In fact, they didn't complain. They would just say they disagreed with it, maybe. But that was pretty rare. And there were a couple occasions where they might just leave it on my desk and I would never bring it up again. What we found out was that there was one individual who complained about it. And this lady who I had worked with the entire time I was at JPL, she was at team lead meetings with me each week. I had no indication that she was unhappy with me at all. We had a cordial relationship. We would encounter each other, say hi, greet one another in a professional manner. Anyway, I loaned her a copy of Unlocking the Mystery of Life. And she took it, and it was a very cordial conversation. It was very brief. It was at the end of a work day, at the end of a work week. And I told her this talks about DNA and the language of life and molecular machines. And she said, oh, it looks very interesting. And I found it on my desk the next workday morning after the weekend.
From documents discovered later, it came to light that this coworker watched the DVD and thought it had a religious message because it was about intelligent design. But what especially upset her? Some words scratched on a post-it note stuck to the back of the DVD case.
It was probably several years old. It had nine names on it. Two of them were crossed off, and one of them had the words "try again" beside it. She saw that and she freaked out because she thought that I was tracking people and I was approaching people who didn't want to be approached, and if they didn't want it the first time, I would write "try again." And she felt harassed by this, and she said she was actually feared that I would come back and offer her another DVD.
Coppedge says this coworker did not express any concerns to him or give him an opportunity to respond. Instead, on Monday morning, she went to Coppedge's boss and said she felt harassed because Coppedge was bringing up inappropriate, controversial subjects about personal choices in life. It turned out Coppedge's boss had been aware he had been sharing DVDs for some time and was frustrated because he felt Coppedge was pushing religion. He had shared this before in several meetings with Coppedge's program manager, but never with Coppedge himself. In fact, unbeknownst to Coppedge, they had had a number of secret meetings about this over several years. That day, Coppedge's boss called him into his office.
He said, "David's come to my attention that you have been harassing people and pushing your religious views in the office. This must stop." And I said, "How am I pushing religious views?" And he said specifically, "You're handing out DVDs on intelligent design." And so I said, "Well, how is that pushing religion?" And he said very forcefully, leaning forward, raising his voice, "Dave, intelligent design is religion." And I tried to object, and he interrupted me and said it again, "Dave, intelligent design is religion." He was angry. I was caught off guard by this sudden, unexpected conversation. So I became a little defensive, obviously, and said, "Well, is evolution religion?" And he said, "That's different. The scientific consensus has determined that evolution is science." And I said, "Well, is SETI religion? Because they try to determine whether there's intelligent signals by radio waves using the principles of intelligent design." And he said, "That's different." So I told him I would be willing to explain intelligent design in more detail off lab if he were interested, but everything I said just made him angrier, and he would cut me off. He told me, "Dave, you are not to discuss religion or politics with anyone in this office, or it will be difficult for you to maintain employment in this organization." So, being rather stunned by this unexpected outburst with no warning, I said, "This gets into issues of freedom of speech and religion." And he started to get up to leave. And I said, "This could be construed as creating a hostile work environment." And he said, "Well, then go ahead and file a complaint." And he stormed out of the door.
According to Coppedge, JPL had no policy forbidding employees from talking about their own beliefs. And other workers, including supervisors, routinely expressed their views on controversial topics. But now he had been singled out for a blanket prohibition that was applied to no one else.
So I went back, and it was at the end of the workday anyway. I went home and wrote myself an email of what had happened in as much detail as I could. And then I wrote an email to him saying, this is what I heard you say, and I wonder if it's correct. It's not to decide who was right or wrong, but I just want to make sure that these notes accurately reflect what we talked about yesterday. And he never responded.
But Coppedge did get a call from an individual in the human resources office.
And she said, I would like to meet with you. And I thought, well, great. This is going to be a reconciliation attempt to help solve this argument with my boss. And so I was all for it. And a few days later, I met with her for an hour and just laid everything out. And she asked me questions. She asked me, are there any other people that you've discussed religion or politics with? And so I thought, and I said, well, yeah, there was back when, before the prior election, I had shared a few handouts about California's traditional marriage initiative and described that, described how it was just a few, probably 10 or less, and had a good conversation with one who disagreed with me. Well, I thought what I expected was she was going to talk with me and then she was going to talk with my boss and then get the two of us back together in some kind of agreement. But some weeks went by and I didn't hear anything. I continued doing my work. I didn't hand out any more DVDs. In other words, I obeyed my boss's order not to do this anymore. But then I talked to my line manager one time later in that month, and he said, oh, HR is talking to a lot of people about you. And I immediately got suspicious that something bigger was going on.
Coppedge had no idea that all of these conversations were going on behind his back. He had no idea that offering to loan out DVDs about the evidence for intelligent design would prove so controversial. Who knew that freedom of speech didn't include intelligent design at NASA's JPL? In part two of NASA on Trial, we'll learn how Coppedge was investigated for harassment and demoted from his position as team leader, and how he began to fight back.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute, 2016. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org or idthefuture.com.